I invite you to read with me. The scriptures, I think, are listed on the screen, and so I invite you to do that. We're looking today at being better together, and today I'm thinking about the fact that we are better together because we have a wonderful Father. And I read a little article about a pastor who boarded an airplane. He was getting ready to take his first ever plane flight. And as they were about to take off, one of the flight attendants noticed his clerical garb and also noticed his panicky look and the white knuckles that he had as he was gripping the seat. As they were about to take off, she spoke to him and said, "Sir, I'm surprised at you. You're obviously a man of faith, so you shouldn't be so nervous about flying. Don't you have faith in God that He'll protect you?" And the pastor looked at her and said, "Young lady, the Bible says, 'Lo, I am with you always,' not 'hi.'" We've been looking at being better together. And we've talked in weeks past about how we're better together because we're surrounded by a family of faith. We're surrounded by people who know Christ and who love Him and worship Him. And somehow there's a family because somehow we have the same God and the same faith, and we share that together and share that with one another. And we talked a week later about how we are better together because we share in a fellowship of suffering, and that those who believe in Jesus are not exempt from that, but somehow as we share that together and we care for one another and through the hard times and the struggles and the blessings as well of those things, that we are brought closer together and we're given opportunities to care and share. And today I want to think about how we are better together because we have a wonderful Father. And the scripture I've chosen is one that's obviously very familiar. And if you'd like to read that with me, I invite you to do so. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And if you learned the King James Version, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And we can talk about why that's in some of the translations and not at a later date if you'd like to. But scripture says, "Our Father, our Father." Jesus teaches us to pray. And there are lots of names for God in the Bible. When Moses was called by God to lead the Israelite people out of Egypt in captivity to the promised land, he asked God, "Who should I tell them? Who should I tell your people that's sending me?" Because he hadn't really gotten to know God in a real person-to-person way. And God spoke and said, "Tell them I am is sending you." And that word Yah or I am translated. And so Moses went back to the people and he told them, "I am is sending me to lead you out." And in the Old Testament, you read at the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And that word Elohim that's translated into English as God is a kind of a plural word. God is one God, and yet we've come to know Him as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are lots of words like Jehovah and Yahweh, and And yet also in the Bible, Old Testament and New, he's called Father. In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." In Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And Jesus, his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said, "This is how you should pray, our Father." But if you read closely, you see that the times when Jesus talks about the Father, he doesn't usually say, "our Father." He says, "my Father," or sometimes, "the Father." The only time he says, "our Father," is when he's teaching us to pray, because he and the Father had a different kind of relationship than we do with the Heavenly Father. God the Father, but God the Son as well, in the beginning with God and was God, and somehow that relationship was a little different than it is for us. And so, yes, Jesus claims us as brothers, but we are adopted into his family by believing in Christ. We become brothers and sisters with Christ in an adopted kind of way by believing in him. But Jesus taught us to pray. He said we should call him Father. And so we pray, our Father. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "To those who believed in his name," or in Jesus' name, "he gave the right to become children of God." Now, not all created people are given that right, but those who believe in him, he gave the right to be called children of God. And so together we are a family. Those who believe in Jesus, those who are given that right to be children of God, when we gather together, we call him Father. We're a family. And often when I baptize a new person into the faith, I say, "I baptize you as my brother or my sister in Christ." And I believe that somehow as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all one. And I stand up here on the platform, maybe it's easier to see, and maybe in some symbolic way it's supposed to symbolize that the spoken word is important, but in most ways we are equal. There's not a hierarchy in the church that the pastor or the elders or the leaders somehow are more important than any other person. We are all simply saved by God's grace. We are sinners who deserve nothing but condemnation, but we become believers in Christ and we become brothers and sisters. We're better together because we have a wonderful Father. And you can use all kinds of names and adjectives if you'd like, because we could insert the word mighty instead of wonderful, because he's a mighty Father. He's an omnipotent Father. An everlasting Father from beginning to end, Creator, Redeemer, Friend, before all things. And Jesus tells us some things about our Father as well. Jesus says he has a house. Now, what does that house look like? He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare and so forth, but he says, don't be afraid. My Father's house has many rooms or many mansions or many dwelling places. And so we get a sense that God is preparing a place, a house for us. Is it a mansion? Is it a little room? Is it a place that we can't begin to fathom? I have a feeling that it's way beyond what we could imagine. But the Father is building a place for us. Jesus said we should call him Father. But he also says our Father in heaven. Now, where's heaven? I've been asked that question before, and I have some ideas about that, but to be honest, I don't know if you go up when you die, or if you go through that portal into a new realm. How does that work? And I don't know. We can also argue, is it up there somewhere, or as Revelation 21 says, does that new heaven and that new earth descend from heaven, and it's here among us, and how that all works, I think generations and generations and generations have argued that, and I don't think we know any more than we did then, but we trust it. That Father is a Father in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean He's far away or that He's somewhere where we can't be able to reach Him. He's far above us in status and ability and goodness and love and grace, but He's also close. He's a merciful Father, and He's a Father who knows what we need even before we ask. And sometimes your children will say, "Dad, can I have a cookie?" Well, it's right before dinner time, and you say, "No, you can't have one till later," because you know what they need before they ask. You know that this is going to ruin the dinner and all of that kind of thing. And our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ask, and yet we're supposed to ask when you pray. Say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name," and we honor His holy name. And then we pray, "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us, and lead us, and guide us." He's righteous and just. He provides salvation for all who ask, but will by no means allow the guilty to go unpunished. And so He sent His Son to take on the guilt and the punishment for that guilt. And for those who will receive and believe in Him, He provides salvation. Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 17 says, "My Father is working." How does your Father work? With a hammer and a nail, or maybe at the desk or at the computer, or maybe He works in ways with His mind, or teaching, or all kinds of things. There are lots of ways that God may be at work, but I believe He's working. And even in the midst of these difficult times, God is at work and doing some amazing things and some unusual things and teaching us some new things and creating in our own church the ability to do all kinds of things differently and even Zoom and all of those things. The kids in school are already like, "I don't want any more of this Zoom stuff." But we learn to do that, and somehow we figure that out and we get on with it, and we're learning to connect with people all around the world that maybe have been separated, and some of my family coming back together just because of Zoom. Cousins that I haven't seen for a long time, at least I've seen their face in a little square on a computer screen, and there's some wonder in that. God, our Father, is a protective God, and it tells us in John chapter 10 that we are His sheep, the sheep of His pasture. And in verse 29, it says, "No one can snatch them from the Father's hand." God protects us and He provides for us. And others in the New Testament tell us about our Father as well. It says in James 1 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, that Heavenly Father who created the heavens and the earth. One of the first things He created was light. And in John chapter 2, it says, "God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all." And John chapter 3 tells us about God being love. God is love, it says. And the Bible from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden to the very end, that garden in Revelation, is the story, that grand story of God's redemption and how He had a plan, and He loves to redeem and restore and bring people back to Him, and that somehow in the restoring and the redeeming and the renewing, there's a value and a greater sense of belonging. Together we have a wonderful, or whatever descriptive term you would add in there, a wonderful Father. And we're better together because God designed us to be part of His family and part of His creation and part of His world and gathered together. Because we have a wonderful Father, we can enjoy our spiritual family. Now, let me ask you a question. When you get together with your earthly family, what are some of the things that you enjoy most? Well, maybe it's that apple pie, or maybe it's that game that you play, or maybe it's the unwrapping of gifts, or the singing of songs, or the favorite meals, but somehow those shared experiences, those things that you do together, those are part of the memories. And so many of you can think back 20 years ago, some of you can anyway, some can't, maybe 2 years ago, but you can think back and remember when we did this. We went on that vacation, or we did this thing together. We climbed Mount Princeton, or we did those enjoyable things, and somehow those shared experiences are part of our family life and our memories and the things that we enjoy. And we look forward to being together with our families again, because even though we won't repeat what happened before, there'll be some new shared experience that we enjoy. Well, let me ask you this. What do you enjoy most about your spiritual family? The brothers and sisters that gather in the Father's house, in the Father's name, or in the Father's kingdom. Well, I enjoy boat church. I'm glad we didn't try to do that in the rain today, and we can be indoors. I always enjoy Christmas Eve service because there's something special about that time and the folks that gather just to sing the songs of our Savior's birth. And Easter Sunday, boy, we missed that this year, didn't we? I guess we did that online and we did the best we could. And I know all around the country we watched others, even the great big mega churches that sometimes have thousands of people, were kind of doing it the same way we did this year on the television screen, at least. But Easter Sunday, you gather and we sing Christ the Lord is risen today, and we share how the stone was rolled away, and what a great family celebration that is. And the singing of hymns. Once in a while we have a pick your favorite hymn Sunday, and somehow we run out of time before we run out of favorite hymns, because those are part of our love for Christ and the way we've come to know Him. Celebrating when somebody comes to Christ is one of my favorite things. When somebody comes forward, when a young person or older person, whoever, says, I want to invite Jesus into my life. And that's one of the highlights of Christian ministry. And food, you know, the food that we share together, sometimes we haven't been able to do that lately, but there's a few little things out there on the table if you want to grab one on your way out, some already pre-packaged wrap things, and yet those fellowship meals that we gather and traditions that we share and things that we love. And then there's babies, and babies are welcome in our church. If they don't do well in the nursery, we will listen to them here. It's a beautiful sound to me. We went through a time when there weren't very many, and it wasn't a beautiful sound at all. And so children are welcome, and we love babies, and we love baptisms, and we've had some great experiences. And we've even enjoyed some online church. And I think someday, hopefully someday soon, we'll look back and we'll say, well, even that wasn't so bad. We we learn to do things in a different way, or we learn to enjoy. And someday when we look back on this pandemic and we say, well, we saw God still at work even in that time and even in those experiences. And somehow that sharing even of that journey together is part of our family together. And we have a wonderful Father. And because of that, we can enjoy our spiritual family. The laughter and the music and the conversations and the caring and the coffee and all of those things that are part of it. And yes, we still need to honor that social distance and try to give people room. And we invite folks to stay home if they're sick. We also invite folks to wear a mask if you want to do that. And we are not going to condemn anybody for staying home and staying online, because we want people to feel safe and we want them to be safe. But we also enjoy worshiping together. We have a wonderful Father. Because of that, we can appreciate who He is. Who is our Father? Well, what do you remember about your dad? When you were 4 years old, you might have said, my daddy can do anything. My dad's stronger than your dad. Or maybe at 7 years old, you would have said, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. But at 8 years old, you might have said, well, my father doesn't know quite everything. And at 12 years, you might have said, oh, well, naturally, father doesn't know about that either. At 14, you might have said, oh, dad, he's hopelessly out of date. At 21, you might have said, oh, man, that old man, he just doesn't know anything anymore. And at 25 years old, you might have said, well, he does know a little bit. At 35, you might have said, well, before we decide, let's go ask Dad. At 50 years old, you might say, what would Dad have thought about that? And at 60 years of age, you might say, well, my dad knew literally everything. 65, you might say, well, I wish I could talk it over with Dad once more. And we have a dad, a father that we can talk things over with, and a dad who does know everything. And somehow, as we try to understand what he's saying and what he's trying to communicate, and a lot of the times he's just saying, now, just hold on, wait just a little bit, don't get in such a hurry, we'll get through this and we'll make it. But in the meantime, just be patient. And something about that patience is part of our dad, our Heavenly Father. He's the strongest and the greatest, and His wisdom and His power unfathomable. He's a wonderful, mysterious God and works in mysterious ways, and yet He works in big ways and little ways, answers the prayers of little children and of grown-ups. And sometimes we share the stories and the testimonies of how He works in people's lives and what an amazing God He is. I believe that we have a wonderful Father. We can appreciate His power, who He is. And because we have a wonderful Father, we can love Him by worshiping and by giving thanks and gratitude and praise. And so we gather together in His name, and when we do, He is there. He is here. He says in His word, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And fathers like to be with their children. They like to be gathered together when their families are together. Dads like to do that. And I believe our Heavenly Father loves just to see His family together, growing and sharing and celebrating. And so we can sing and we can testify and we can enjoy and laugh and cry. I believe that part of loving our Father, worship and gratitude, part of it is to make Him proud. How do your kids make you proud? Well, I could go on and on about mine. and you can go on and on about yours and your grandchildren, but somehow they do things that make us proud. Maybe the way they grow up and accomplish their goals. Maybe it's the things that they're able to do, or the kind person that they are, or that personality that's outgoing or that's conscious or that cares. And it's amazing how our children sometimes just make us proud by the way they act and they do. And I believe that we can make him proud. We can be like him. I have learned reluctantly sometimes to watch myself on video. Anybody like to do that? And one of the first times I did that during this pandemic, I was doing a devotion from the little round table there in the chapel, and I sat there and I did the video, and then I watched it back to see whether it came out right. And as I watched myself, I thought, boy, I've seen my dad give that look and that little expression. And I called my mother later. I said, I saw my dad today. And then she said, well, I've seen him a lot lately. Do you look like your dad? Well, evidently, I do, to some extent at least. And the goal is to look like our Heavenly Father, to be like him and to love like he does, and to show others that kind of love and that forgiveness. And as we pray, we forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And so we worship him in lots of ways. We love him, and we give thanks, and we try to make him proud. And one of the ways that we love him is also by remembering, by never taking for granted what he did and the price he paid. And so as we gather week by week, we sing the songs of God's redeeming love, and we sing the songs of how Jesus died in our place, and we remember those things. And today we pause to remember him in our worship. And we're going to do that this morning by sharing the Lord's Supper. And so I hope that you were able to receive, to get that as you came in. And if you've never done prepackaged communion, this might be a little complicated, but hopefully you can do it without spilling it all over yourself, at least. The Lord's Supper, a reminder of what Jesus did for us and how God loves us, how our Heavenly Father provided for us. The Bible tells us that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, the bread that was there at the table, that unleavened bread, and he broke it. And as he did that, he showed and used that as an example of how he would be broken for us. And so the scripture tells us he was broken. And I want to invite you to take off that top little layer if you can, if I can. If you have long fingernails, it helps, but I don't have those. So anyway, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And we're going to pray as we share a blessing on the bread. God, we thank you for your body broken for us. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to die in our place, to give yourself as a ransom for us. Thank you, Lord, that our sins are nailed to the cross, that you, your blood has been shed for us. And so, Lord, as we take this bread, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Shall we take of the bread? It also tells us that he took the cup. And after, if you read more about the Last Supper and the Passover meals, there were several cups of wine that were shared during the meal, but the, But the cup of blessing, the one there at the end, it tells us that Jesus took the cup after supper. And he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of their sins." And I'd like to offer just a little prayer as we share the cup. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to shed his blood so that we might be forgiven. A sacrifice, Lord, a ransom. You put our sins on him. And Lord, because of his death and because of his sacrifice, we can be forgiven. And we thank you for that, Lord. We remember the price he paid that we might have salvation and freedom. And so, Lord, bless and encourage and strengthen us in our faith as we share this cup together. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we share the cup? Because we have a wonderful Father, we're better together. And we love him, we appreciate him, we share and enjoy our spiritual family together. And we also invite others to know Christ as well. We invite others to be part of the spiritual family. And so part of our job is simply to tell others and to invite them and encourage them to come to know him as well. That's part of our mission, but also part of just being in his family. There are others who need to know him as well. And so even during the pandemic, if you have a friend or you run across folks that just need to be invited to church or need to be invited to come and sit with me or check us out on the YouTube channel, there are lots of ways to learn. It's good that we can be together. I want to thank you for coming today.